It finally happened. It got cold out this winter, and now I want to hunker down with friends and family, eating heavy, creamy foods like cheese and drinking a nice hearty stout. Maybe you can relate. So today's food show on KCUR Central Standard starts with a lesson on pairing cheese with beer. I'm Gina Kaufman and Lincoln Broadbooks with us from the Better Cheddar. Good morning. So beer and cheese is kind of a thing now, right?
It is. It definitely is. They've been pairing beer and cheese for quite a while now, but it's starting to get real, you know, trendy and popular. But yeah, it's definitely a thing.
What works about this combo?
Well, it's the main thing for me is the bubbles. The bubbles with cheese is always a good thing. So most beers, not all, you know, stouts don't have a lot of bubbles and things like that, but most beers have more bubbly effervescence to them. So it definitely goes really well with a fatty cheese.
Because it kind of cuts against that heaviness or something?
It definitely cuts through that fat and that heaviness, yeah. So,
are there general rules of thumb for picking out a beer that really enhances your cheese selection?
Well, I don't know about general, but you definitely don't want to go a really heavy, full-flavored cheese with a lighter beer. What you're really looking for is balance.
So it's like the steak and red wine.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So you're definitely looking for balance, and when that cheese is overpowering the beer or that beer is overpowering the cheese, it just doesn't work that way. So it, yeah. And then you also want elevation. You want to take two different things and make something new when you're pairing them together as far as flavors go. So,
okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what's a good combo for adventurous cheese eaters? Not necessarily specific cheeses and beers, but like types.
Yeah. So I mean, like imperial stouts or stouts with blue cheese is a thing, and it's definitely a nice pairing. But, you know, you got to like the blue and you got to like those heavier beers. So that is something to really think about if you're adventurous. Yeah.
And is this all the talk about cheese and beer that's coming out of the craft beer movement?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of deregulation in the craft beer movement, not a lot in the cheese movement, which is annoying to me, a cheese guy. But yeah, so they're popping up all over the place. And so that's good for people who love craft beer. And it's fun for cheese people, too, who like to pair them. So,
okay. So what, and this is where we get into our tasting, my favorite part. What might work nicely for someone who might likes a milder cheese?
Gotcha. Well, today we're going to try a Casey Beer Co. I did local here. We have a Casey Beer Co. Hefeweizen, and it's basically their wheat beer, their Bavarian wheat beer. So it's lighter, a little bit fruity, but it still has a little bit of the malt in the background. And it's got a lot of bubbles, and it goes really well with cheese like Hemi Brothers Cork. Hemi Brothers is from Sweet Springs. Sweet Springs, Missouri. And they make a cork, a German-style cork. And a cork is like really ubiquitous in Germany. It's everywhere. But this is they make a more of a thicker style. They strain it.
What is cork?
Yeah. Cork is like a fresh cheese. You'll see.
So it hasn't aged.
It has not aged at all. It's basically curdled, and then they strain the whey from the cheese, and you get a creamy cheese. Yeah.
And it's in a very nice glass jar. Okay.
It is.
So should I try the cheese first or the beer first?
If you're talking to me, I say cheese and then beer.
Okay.
So yeah, go for it.
Okay. Cheese and beer, guys. Yeah, you know what? Okay. So I tried the cheese. Mm-hmm. It was good. It is mild. And then the beer brought out a lot of sweetness in it that
did.
I hadn't really detected before.
I agree. Yeah. This beer isn't necessarily really sweet, but with that milky sweetness in the cheese, you definitely – it brings out a little sweetness.
It really just sort of like popped all of a sudden. I don't know. It was really kind of a fun eating experience.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite pairings. It definitely – it brings something new that you didn't have with just the beer and just the cheese. So, yeah.
So then let's say it's a cold winter night and I am looking for a cheese and beer that are just – it's cold. I want heavy. I want filling. And I could pretend this is because I'm having a party, but it's not. I just want to sit under a blanket and eat cheese and drink beer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, The other pairing we have here is definitely a more full flavor, heavier pairing here. I went Kansas this time.
Okay.
This
is, so we're crossing the border
exactly.
from Missouri into Kansas.
This is Ad Astra, their amber ale from Free State. And so this is not like the heaviest beer ever, but it's a little bit heavier than something like a wheat beer. And I paired it with a French Comté. A Comté is a French mountain cheese, and this is aged for 2 years. So it's got a lot of crystallization in it. And you'll have to see what you think when you try it. But I find it to be it reminds me of French onion soup.
Oh, okay. I love French onion soup. Okay, yeah. I'm ready. I'm so ready. Okay. Never been more ready in my life. Okay, I'm not sure how to describe. It's really good. It's very buttery, and I feel like that's what this beer brought out.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of butter in it. I kind of went this is actually a little bit sweeter to me.
The beer.
And then, and it's got some of those roasted malty flavors to it. This is kind of nutty.
Yeah.
And this has got
some
caramel in it.
Yeah, nutty and buttery.
Yeah, and so I thought they went good together. It reminded me of French onion soup, but
You're totally right. And kind of salt. There's a saltiness.
Saltiness, yeah.
Well, Lincoln Broadbooks, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we're going to stick with cheese here after this break. We're going to leave the beer to you. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we're talking about cheese. There's a Swiss tradition of eating cheese melted in a pot, fondue. And Andre's, south of the plaza, used to have fondue nights every Friday. It was a popular thing that started in the late 1960s, and it only lasted about 10 years. But they've decided it's time for a comeback, which is pretty exciting for longtime regulars.
We used to come down here, my date and I, and have fondue, and we would bring in our little flask of wine because they didn't have wine in those days, and sneak it in.
That's Caroline. She and the other guests are mingling past the decadent display cases in a very wooden, very Swiss tea room that looks like an old mountain chalet. In the kitchen, Chef René Beaulieu is getting the fondue ready. His family has owned and operated Andre's since it opened in 1955.
During the holiday months when my parents were working 14, 16 hours, just throwing a pot of fondue on the stove with some bread was an easy way to get us all fed. So we would eat fondue all the time at home and loved it.
René combines Emmentaler and Gruyere cheeses imported from Switzerland and a little bit of cherry brandy to give it some bite. It looks like a runny porridge when he first ladles it into the pot. But with a little heat, a little time, and a careful eye...
And then all of a sudden it'll just start to bind together and bubble, and that's when you know it's fondue time.
And the verdict? Well, Caroline seems pretty happy with the revival of her old 70s fondue scene.
We didn't have to smuggle in our wine. So it was a good time.
That blast from the past fondue night at Andre's is just one way to fully appreciate cheese in Kansas City. And now the food critics are here to offer some of their favorite ways to make the most of this gooey, melty delicacy in and around town. Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, Charles Frouza, hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
So, Jenny, you are the one who alerted us to Fondue Night at Andre's. Anything you want to add quickly before we move on to our other ideas?
Well, I just have to say I wrote about it for Feast Magazine and called and couldn't get in until February or March. So I think it speaks for itself. I think it's a very popular thing. And, you know, it speaks right now to their history and heritage, which I kind of love, the fact that they did it and then brought it back. So I can't wait to have it, but I've heard it's great.
Jenny, you are also recommending another social engagement for cheese lovers at Westport Cafe and Bar.
Yeah, so this is kind of something interesting. It's the two French chefs that own Westport Cafe and Bar, and they're doing a Mont Dior cheese party on December 14th. You have to call for reservations. It's $25 a person, and basically this is a traditional French cheese. It's a cow's milk cheese that usually is baked in its own box. So it kind of comes in a little wood box, and it makes its own fondue. You can add herbs or garlic or wine, and they just bake it off, and then theirs is going to be served with potatoes and charcuterie. And so it sounds just delicious and ooey gooey, and another great way to enjoy some new kinds of cheeses that we really haven't experienced yet. So
that's December 14th at Westport Cafe and Bar. The cheese plate is maybe more of a current trend than fondue for groups of people getting together to have fun and eat cheese. Mary, what are some of your favorite cheese plates in town?
Two of them would be, well, I'll start with Corvino, and they have
Corvino Supper Club.
Yes, and it's the cheese plate has four or five selections of cheese, all very different, so you can experiment. And they come with condiments and a mushroom conserva, which is like a confit. It's been cooked and reduced down, and
mushroom goes
really well with the cheese and of course wine, and then bread and crackers, and you can make a meal out of these plates. And Sava has another really good one too, and Caitlin picks great cheeses and chutneys to go with.
Is that an always changing one, or is it?
I think they change based on availability and time of year.
But that one is particularly enjoyable to you.
It is.
A presentation is a big part of cheese plates too.
I agree, and I think that's probably like why I like both the ones at Corvino and Sava. It's not just slapdash.
But Charles, you like a cheese board at Westside Local.
I do. That, you know, I'm not a cheese. I think cheese boards are a great accompaniment to wine, and I don't drink anymore. But for a cheese board standing alone on its own, that's a great cheese board. You really can make a meal out of it.
What do you like about that one?
They're all local cheeses, like Green Dirt Farm and, I don't know how local you can. Cottonwood River is, Jenny, is that pretty local?
Absolutely.
But they're all delicious. And there's something also about, they have a house baked pumpkin cranberry bread. And I'm, you know, usually a cracker person, a savory person. But there's something about a creamy cheese on a sweet bread that's really quite nice in the winter months.
Yeah, I think the accompaniments to a cheese plate are almost as important as the cheese.
So, yeah, Jenny, you are recommending one that's strictly Green Dirt Farm cheese. It's at a coffee shop.
Yeah, so this is a new place on 39th Street that everyone must go to. It's called Nomad's Coffee and Cocktails, and it's the old D.B. Cooper's location, if anybody remembers that, you know, relic. But this is a sexy new iteration of it, and they're serving cocktails in the morning cocktails all day, actually.
coffee
in the morning.
Although D.B. Cooper's did used to be open in the mornings.
Well, so this place is too, which is why it's 21 and older to go.
Okay.
So you can't go in there unless you could, you know, have a card to show. But they have a cheese plate that's very, very simple. So here I am on my soapbox talking about accoutrement. But it's basically four different kinds of Green Dirt Farm cheese and then some delicious little kind of savory crostini that are from Bloom Bakery in the River Market. And that's it. That's all that's on the plate. But it's a nice portion, and it's only $10, which is really inexpensive for a cheese tray that has, you know, four local cheeses from Green Dirt Farms. Really, really delicious and simple.
If you want to make the trek to Weston, Green Dirt Farm has a creamery, and you can do a build your own. So you get five.
With the plates?
Yes. You can do five of their cheeses. You can add charcuterie. You can choose bread or crackers and all the garnishes.
Everyone should make a trip out there. It's so pretty.
You know, I have not done this yet, so I'll be interested in your reaction. But I would think that a cheese plate or a cheese board would be really nice with coffee. I've never considered that for myself.
You should try.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Like a dessert, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, so that's where again, Jenny, that you might get the coffee and
experience,
cheese board?
Yeah.
There you go. You could have it all at Nomad's.
And they are so nice there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really are. It's a great little neighborhood spot, and I'm thrilled to have it.
We're going to have to take a break, but when we get back, we'll talk about mac and cheese, grilled cheese, French onion soup, and all the old comfort foods with cheese, of course. I I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we have the food critics here today talking about cheese. Mary, you are a wealth of great comfort food ideas involving cheese. First of all, French onion soup.
French onion soup at this time of year is just a no-brainer in my book. It's so warm and comforting, and there are two places I like to go for it. One is Westport Cafe, which we already mentioned, and the other is Michael Smith. And the criteria for me is full of wonderful caramelized onions and a hearty, flavorful broth. Sometimes the broth is just
salty.
Salty and mm-hmm. and not much flavor. And then a great piece of bread that's been toasted under the broiler and just blanketed with cheese.
Okay, so tell me about the specific bowls of French onion soup you have selected.
Well, they are the traditional and just what I described. So they do it right on all those counts.
They meet the Mary block. They checked off all the things on your checklist.
Yeah, actually, they meet the Tom block standard. But I go by whether he really likes it or not, because those are his criteria.
So, okay, you also have some grilled cheese sandwiches on your list. What elevates a grilled cheese beyond just something simple to make at home when you're not feeling ambitious?
I care a lot about what kind of bread it's on, for starters, and that it's a really good crusted bread. It's got some substance to it. And then interesting cheeses. I mean, you know, Velveeta or American is fine, but I think some of the best grilled cheese sandwiches in town have a lot of going for them because the cheeses are so interesting. And then I like, whether it's a onion jam or a fig jam or at this time of year, cranberry, something to elevate it with a little extra flavor.
So tell me about the two places that you're really highlighting here for grilled cheese.
Okay. Well, the Green Dirt Farm Creamery, which I mentioned earlier for its cheese plate, also has some incredible sandwiches. The two grilled cheese sandwiches feature, of course, their own sandwiches. One of them is called the Wooly One, and that has their winter Wooly cheese, which is very grassy and melts well with provolone. And the other is the Moo One with Green Dirt Farm O'Arc, which is like a hard Swiss-like cheese, as well as their Ruby cheese and Swiss. And they use Hearth Bread Company bread, which is based out of Weston.
Okay, and so, and what kind of are the different cheese? Are the different sandwiches on different breads too?
I think they are just on whatever they have that day.
So that's for most of our listeners a road trip. Although I'm sure we have some listeners in Weston or near Weston. What about in the city center?
Well, in if you want to go to the West Side, West Side Local has a really good grilled cheese. And if you pair it with their tomato soup, you've got a great meal.
I second that.
Yeah. It's got brie and Emmenthaler and white cheddar, and they put it on farm-to-market sourdough bread.
So, Charles, you also have a sandwich to tell us about that you get at the Summit Grill and Bar.
Yeah, you know, it's heresy to say this, I think, because every vegetarian I've ever known loves grilled cheese because it's sort of a meat-free classic dish. Maybe not so healthy, but I love the ultimate grilled cheese sandwich at Summit Grill and Bar because it has braised beef on it. And what really makes that sandwich, I think, is, you know, they have five different kinds of cheese with the braised beef, but they have a horseradish cream that is so intoxicating. You know, it's got the horseradish punch, but not overwhelming. You know, it doesn't hit you between the eyes. And it's a nice combination of melted cheese, and the braised beef is good. It's kind of a classic comfort wintertime dish.
I would have never thought of grilled cheese and horseradish kind of together. I know the beef is in there somewhere, but that's kind of an interesting combo.
It is a good combo, yeah.
So what is the name of this sandwich?
The Ultimate Grilled Cheese Sandwich.
Oh, right. You mentioned
it. Of course it is.
That's funny.
It has beef.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then, okay, so while we're on the comfort food idea, mac and cheese, of course, is the classic cheesy comfort food dish. And so everyone, tell me, like, where is the best mac and cheese in town?
Well, there's been a proliferation of gourmet grilled cheeses or mac and cheeses over the last couple of years in Kansas City. And I'm not a person who really thinks adults should be ordering it as an entree in a restaurant. I'm kind of anti that. But as a side dish in a restaurant, if it's really, really worth it, I think it can be excellent. And I just had the best one that I think that I have probably ever had. It's really unique at Hogshead, which is the new restaurant that's opened up on the Country Club Plaza. And this has the radiator-style pasta. It's called Radiatore pasta. And it's basically, it's got fontina, cojita, and smoked cheddar cheese that's melted down into a beautiful sauce. It's got some sun-dried tomatoes, a little pork shoulder and a little pork belly is kind of snuck in there. And it's just creamy and rich. And it's got a smoky flavor that comes through in that smoked cheddar cheese that's just amazing.
Mary?
I love the mac and cheese at Extra Virgin because they add poblano peppers. So instead of it just being what I think of as traditionally kind of a bland dish, it has quite a nice kick to it. And then Rye on the Plaza just opened, and I had theirs recently, and they have they top it with bacon lardons and a green matcha breadcrumb. So it's got a nice bright green topping.
Do you agree with Jenny's statement that this should be a side dish?
Well, I usually watch my husband eat it for an entree, so... But I would only have it as a side dish just because it's a lot to eat if that's all you're eating.
We love you, Tom. The rules don't apply to you.
So, Mary, tell us again, where are your two favorite mac and cheeses?
So, Extra Virgin and Rye.
Charles, quickly, any names?
Well, I was going to say, I do, as a former server, believe that it should always be a side dish with steak.
But where do you get it, Charles?
McCoy's Public House in Westport has really a very, very fine one.
Cool. Okay. Well, we have a few more cheese recommendations from our critics when we get back, and you can feel free to tweet us some of your top choices for grilled cheese, mac and cheese, anything with cheese. We're at KCURCST. I'm Gina Kaufman with the Food Critics. Stay tuned. We're back with just a few more ideas for making the most of all the cheese to be had in Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman here with Charles Ferruzza, Mary Block, and Jenny Vergara. Hi again, everyone.
Hello.
So, Jenny, tell me about the raclette you're recommending, and also please explain what raclette is.
So raclette is basically a style of cheese that's either Swiss or French, and it's also a style of preparation. And recently there has been a bit of a buzz about these raclette machines where you can take like half a wheel, like a 13-pound wheel of cheese, cut it in half, and stick it under this raclette, which is basically like a broiler. And it just kind of bubbles and melts that top layer of the cheese, and then that whole wheel is taken and scraped. All the ooey-gooey cheese is scraped off the top and onto a plate full of, you know, blanched vegetables or meats or potatoes. And the Rieger just got a raclette machine that I just spoke of. And they're doing it as a special on Monday and Tuesdays. And I just caught a video of Howard Hanna kind of playing around with it in his restaurant.
Fun.
And I cannot wait to get in there and try it.
That sounds intriguing.
Labor intensive.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, ta-da, little table service, little something, something. I don't know if they're actually going to come to the table with the cheese, but...
So moving on from the Swiss influence to an Italian one, Mary, you've got a favorite cheese, pizza.
I don't think you can talk about cheese without mentioning pizza. And my favorite cheese pizza is the Pizza Biancoverde at Pizza Bella. It's a three-cheese pizza, mozzarella, ricotta, and parm, all melted with some arugula in the middle that you can kind of spread out on each of the slices. And I love it.
So Pizza Bella for Mary Block's favorite cheese pizza. And Charles, there is a peppermint cheesecake on your list, which sounds amazing this time of year.
It is amazing. And I love cheesecake anyway, but I get tired of the usual traditional cheesecake. And yet I don't want that usual canned fruit stuff on top. So the peppermint cheesecake, which has actually had a lot of chocolate in it.
Where do we get this?
At the Summit Grill and Bar in Waldo. And it's very festive for the holidays and has a chocolate crust and a little chocolate on top. And, you know, it reminds me of the old peppermint ice cream pie. Do you remember that?
Oh,
gosh,
I love peppermint Skies. Ice cream. I love it.
Yeah.
So. Love it.
So maybe that's the new peppermint winter treat.
It could be, yeah.
We've got a couple of tweets. We are hearing that Best Regards Bakery in Overland Park has an 80-acre beer and cheese soup on Tuesdays. And Casey on Twitter tells us it is, quote, friggin' amazing. And we are also hearing that Bloom Bakery Company in the City Market has a good grilled cheese. Sarah is telling us that. Have you guys tried those?
No,
I haven't, but we'll have to.
Couple more recommendations for us. And Jenny, we started this show with beer and cheese. I'd like to return to beer and cheese. Speaking of beer and cheese soups, you've got two on your list.
I do. You know, it's one of those things where you can't have a cheese soup without a little beer in it. And the two that I'm recommending, one of them is from the Beer Kitchen in Westport, and it's their infamous Tank 7 beer cheese soup, cheddar soup. And it's just everything that you would hope for. It's got that little tang of, you know, Tank 7 in there and just a creamy cheese. And then the other one's just down the street at Hopcat. And they serve theirs in either a regular bowl or a bread bowl. And it's just cheddar ale soup made with good old, you know, just beer and cheese. And you can't beat it when the weather gets cold and you just want something comforting.
So we just have a little bit of time left, you guys. But I want to give you each the opportunity to very quickly tell me about the cheese dish that we haven't talked about yet that you want to just squeeze in here before we go. Charles?
I just want to put a quick shout out for, because Mary was talking about how a bread can make or break a grilled cheese. So it wasn't until I moved to Kansas City that I was introduced at Winstead's, of all places, grilled cheese on rye. And it is the perfect combination.
Oh my gosh,
love it.
I would love that.
I agree. Rye bread is underrated in general.
It
that's
is.
What a patty
totally.
Melt is made
yeah,
with.
Right,
so
right.
It
that's
does
right.
kind of make sense.
That's Mary?
Totally right.
I would go with Port Fonda's chorizo fundido, which is a queso in your own personal skillet. Unbelievable cheese, the kind that's so gooey and, you know, you get a chip in there and it just, it goes, you can't separate it. It just keeps coming at you. And it's got chorizo on top and some poblanos and it's heavenly.
So I'm noticing that we're having a lot of pork and beef and poblano peppers added to our cheese, really sweetening the deal.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. And that's at Port Fonda.
Yes.
Jenny?
I'm going to recommend the Dot Spot Bar and Grill off Parallel Parkway. They have a mozzarella cheese stick that's going to rock your world. It is basically mozzarella that is wrapped in a wonton wrapper, fried crispy.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Okay, wait.
Yeah. And then served with, ta-da, ranch and a chili sauce.
I love it.
Sweet chili sauce. Oh, my gosh,
you guys. I want it right now.
I mean,
actually sounds like a pretty bizarre combination.
Yes. Yeah. It's like Asian and Italian and salt and ranch. I mean, crazy. It sounds crazy.
It sounds
but
delicious.
Crunchy, gooey, you know, all the things you want a mozzarella cheese stick to be.
I didn't even know I wanted a mozzarella cheese stick until you just started talking, Jenny.
You're welcome.
And it's a classic Wyandotte County kind of creation.
It is. Doesn't that sound delicious, though?
Our time is up. This has been a really fun food show on KCUR's Central Standard with Mary Block, Charles Ferruza, and Jenny Vergara. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out to Jen Chen, Matthew Long Middleton, and intern Tom Taylor. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. You're not hearing it now, but you hear it every day if you're a listener. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend, everyone.